Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, I think they're going to be able to figure out who you guys are, though. We've got Sheriff Mark Lamb, you know, the one with the cowboy hat. And so thanks for so much for being on the show, Sheriff. Appreciate it. Also, Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith, and you guys need no introduction, so thanks. Thanks so much. It's going to be a great show. And these guys have good chemistry. So there's a reason why, you know, it's kind of like the Secret Service guys we have. There's a reason why national media doesn't usually let these guys get on TV together because they get out of control. A shout out to our sponsors. You know, we have our title sponsor, Goals at Goals.com. Comply Technologies, our satellite sponsor. Thanks to them, we got on satellite radio on Cinco de Mayo, May the 5th. And it's a great ride. Arrow Precision, USA.com, our arm sponsor. They are back. We have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, we're reaching 1.5 million people right now on stream. TwoBells.com. They built a new online store at leoroundtable.com, so please check that out. Also, fishorlandobass.com. I don't think you guys have heard this new sponsor yet, so check this out. There's a guy, Zach. So he is the captain. He's the fishing charter guy. And fishorlandobass.com, he does bass fishing charters, but he's in Orlando. So you're taking the wife and the kids or the grandkids to Disney. So my advice to the sheriff or to Dave Smith would be, hey, keep the car in gear, the foot on the brake, and let the wife and the grandkids or the kids out at Disney, and then go to fishorlandobass.com and do the fishing charter. And if you're feeling very adventurous, they've got alligator hunting. It's really cool. You don't kill the alligator, Betsy, but it's catch and release. It's awesome. I think you should let Dave do it, but we'll talk off camera. But anyhow, fishorlandobass.com, our newest sponsor. They got some really cool stuff, and Zach's a great guy. A shout out to Brian Burge for the Tampa Free Press at tampafp.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, formerlawman.com, and our favorite Major Travis Yates, who owns lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Guys, we have some deep topics, so hopefully our audience will put their seatbelts on. You guys are going to learn a lot today, and this is going to be up to the minute news. So Trump, the National Guard, and Chicago. I'm telling you guys, this is the up and coming. There's going to be some stuff coming down about this. How good or bad, I don't know, but it's definitely coming. Then we got Trump, the National Guard, and D.C., Washington, D.C. And then we've got, we're going to be talking about a court ruling for Trump deploying the National Guard in Los Angeles. And it did not go Trump's way. It went Gavin Newsom's way. We're going to talk about that. Then we have an ex-Memphis police officers. They were found guilty in the Tyre Nichols killing, and they're going to get a new trial. And then we got some stories of video components. We got Juneau police. This officer is on video throwing a guy to the ground. He ends up resigning from the force. Curious what our panelists think about that use of force. We got a video showing police officers fatally shooting a Dallas lawyer who was armed with a knife. And, you know, they used the word lawyer to make the guy sound like some upstanding citizen, but he had just cut off his ankle bracelet before it happened. So I don't know that he was too upstanding. We got a suspect shot when he pins an officer between a vehicle and a wall during a welfare check, and his partner ends up, you know, firing around that hits the bad guy. SO releases footage of a fatal shooting involving a man armed with a knife in a mental health crisis. So we got a couple knife calls. So Betsy, you're with the National Police Association. You've been all over the media talking about the National Guard, you know, Chicago, D.C., and we're also going to be throwing L.A. in that court decision or that judge's decision, I should say, into the mix. So if you're ready, we're going to get going. So I'm going to let, you know, I don't need to really lead Betsy. She's got the ability to just take the show and run with it. So let me just prep it with just what we're going to be talking about and let her run. I don't want to get in her way. I've seen what happens and it's not pretty. So the National Police Association, who Betsy's the spokesperson for, she told Newsmax that Chicago needs federal law enforcement and the National Guard. Also, she told Newsmax that Chicago's sanctuary policy endangers federal agents. And we're not done. Prosecutions are as important as arrests. That was a very interesting one. And also, Chicago is not requesting federal help. From some other articles I got, that the Trump team told the governor, Pritzker, that his administration, that ICE They're coming to Chicago, and guess what they are? And then Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker and also the Mayor Brennan Johnson, they did a news conference afterwards. They go on national media, and of course, it's almost like they want to taunt the White House and the Trump administration they're threatening what's going to happen if they do it. But they're basically threats revolve around they're not going to let their officers, you know, coordinate and cooperate, you know, with ICE officials. So with that said, Betsy, and I know the sheriff's mic is open too, but Betsy, take it from here.
Well, you know, Mark, I'm sure you could hear me shouting at your house last night at my own TV when I was watching Pritzker and Brandon Johnson do their little national press conference. And it's so horrific. You know, I am Illinois born, bred and raised, and I fled there about 14 years ago. My two kids have recently fled who lived in the city because it is so dangerous. But it's incredibly frustrating because J.B. Pritzker, who is an extremely wealthy billionaire whose family hates him, by the way, that's a whole nother story. But he has decided that along with Gavin Newsom, he is going to try and take on the Trump administration and say that Illinois is perfectly safe. Parts of Illinois are safe. We train in Illinois quite a bit, my husband Dave Smith and I. And most of Illinois, quite frankly, is red. And some of the Chicago suburbs are in the top 10 safest communities in this nation. But inside the city of Chicago and near west suburbs, you know, of course, famously, we had, you know, 55 shootings this past weekend, 7 homicides. We continue to be the murder capital of the world. And yet, frankly, for decades, people are just saying, well, it's the South and West Side. So, you know, nobody particularly cares. Finally, the Trump administration is stepping in and saying, hey, what do you have to lose, Chicago? Why don't you let us come in? And so there's all of this back and forth. So what the Trump administration is doing now is they are amassing resources at the Great Lakes Naval it's an air base. It's not a port, but it's up north in the suburbs. It's almost Wisconsin. My son graduated boot camp there. And they are amassing lots of resources there, and they are going to, ICE is going to come, and they're going to try to take into custody all of these people that they have on detainers. They've got criminal warrants for a bunch of them. And they have to do this because Lori Lightfoot, the former mayor, and then Brandon Johnson, the current mayor, they allowed sanctuary city status, and they got to the point where hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of illegal immigrants were living in Chicago Police Department district stations. They were sleeping there. They were eating there. Chicago PD cops, who everybody wants to malign, were bringing them food from their own homes. They were bringing them their own kids' hand-me-down clothing. And yet they were having sexual assaults, armed robberies, this and that. They pushed them into the neighborhoods. And I have a girlfriend who lives down here, a retired cop. Her mom still lives in one of those neighborhoods in Chicago. Every single night, this woman in her 80s hears gunfire. And she's at the point now where she's like, yeah, there's really nothing we can do about it. She ignores it. It's a horrific situation. Chicago needs federal resources. And I think the DOJ is ready to provide it.
Well, Sheriff.
Yeah, look, she's spot on. And I've been to Illinois several times. I'm not from there. I'm actually from the great state of Hawaii. I was born and raised in Hilo, but and then spent most of my, you know, adult life here in Arizona. But I have been to Illinois several times, and I'm actually going out there. I'm going to be speaking in Williamson County on September 13th at their Ronald Reagan dinner. So if you can get tickets, get tickets. So I'm flying in there into St. Louis, and then we're driving over to Williamson County. But Betsy's right. This is a red state minus Chicago. Look, I'm a 10th Amendment guy, and I love what President Trump has done. I think he absolutely had the right under the Insurrection Act of 1807 to go into L.A. because of the civil disobedience against the federal government, the rebellion, the violence against ICE. So I like that he went there. He went in, cleaned it up, boom, that was it. And then DC is a totally different thing. DC is not one of the 50 states, and therefore they fall under, you know, very federal, you know, heavily federalized. So he had the ability to go in there. He's got a time limit on it, but he's proven in those 30 days that you can have an impact on crime. What Governor Pritzker and what Mayor Johnson should be doing is they should be saying, look, this works. Let's take control of our own fate and let's activate our own National Guard to go in. The governor has the ability to do that. They don't need the federal government to do it. But because of the fecklessness of these people, their inability to protect citizens of Chicago mainly, then what happens is total chaos. And so I think that they're going to pay the price. They should pay the price. I hope that voters are watching. I got the hook.
Well, that's a 5-second hand. We are coming up on our first commercial break, so guys, stick with us. Hey, the sheriff's getting excited. His blood pressure's going up. I love it. We're going to be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And you know, as police officers, we know we can get our gear from a lot of different sources. And when we throw the online mix into it, it's almost limitless, right, our choices that we have. But I want to remind everybody here about the importance of actually supporting the companies that support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. I mean, even their motto is proudly serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And you know, they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. We're actually going to give one away today. So hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card at Gauls.com, and they'll be your new best friends. And you know, I just ordered a brand new pair of Danner waterproof boots at Gauls.com. I did not have to pay full price. I had them on sale. I've already got them in the mail. They're absolutely beautiful. They got great customer service. Again, that is Gauls.com. Now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And of course, my favorite product they have, it's called the glove, but they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions that help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low optics manner, utilizing their, and they call it CD3. It stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, I already mentioned, is called the glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, the glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game by going to Compliant Technologies and looking at the glove. And, you know, take it from me, guys, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com, and check out the cool videos. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Sheriff Mark Lamb, Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith. We're talking about Donald Trump, the National Guard, and Chicago. I'm telling you guys, and I mean, everybody here knows, but I'm telling to our audience, something's going down. You've got a head off at the, you know, at the OK Corral. I mean, it's going to be going down. You got a, it's getting ugly. So stay tuned for that. You've got a governor and a mayor that are taunting the president, the White House, the whole administration, and there's going to be a show of force, this month. And actually, I believe it was supposed to start, really, what it was, I read September the 2nd, which would have been yesterday. So I'm curious. I haven't heard any fireworks yet, but I expect it to be coming.
And, you know, let me say that a lot of the media keeps saying that Trump has stated yesterday that he is sending in the National Guard to both Baltimore and Chicago. And he didn't actually say that. He's just talking about, he's basically said, we're coming to those cities. And again, you know, like Mark said, he's not, you know, the 10th Amendment stands, and Trump just can't put, you know, tanks on Michigan Avenue. But when we talk about federal resources, we're, you know, in Chicago and Baltimore and every major city, Phoenix, we work with our federal partners. Local law enforcement has done that, you know, my entire adult life. And I was on some of those task forces. But here's the thing, he can bring in the National Guard to protect his federal agents. And I think that may be what we see, just like we saw in LA, that may be what we end up seeing in Chicago. Because if ICE can't stay safe, because Brandon Johnson and JB Pritzker are telling the citizens of Chicago, rise up, you know, and fight these guys and fight ICE and this and that. And so they may force Trump to bring in the National Guard just to keep those cops safe.
So let me
Look, when people think the National Guard comes in, even in L.A., they're not being brought in a law enforcement capacity. So the Posse Comitatus Act of 1878 wouldn't apply because they're not going in and acting as deputies or enforcing the law. They're basically just a force multiplier walking around the streets, keeping buildings safe, keeping federal partners safe. That's the kind of work that they were doing. And I think that that's a clear distinction when you talk about this lawsuit that was in that I know we're going to probably get into that in California that the judge just ruled on. And I did a video about him yesterday. We can get into that. But people need to understand that what this typically is National Guard comes in a logistical support, in a force multiplier, not in a law enforcement capacity. And that's a big distinction to make sure that you make when we're talking about involving them. And then also, I love Galls and I love compliant technologies. Jeff Nicklaus knocked it out of the park with his gloves that he has, and it'll put the biggest man down. I don't think it put Betsy down, but it'll put guys like me down and no problem. So well done. I love Jeff, love compliant technologies. Wanted to give you an extra little boost there, Chip, for your your sponsors.
They'll appreciate it. Yeah, I'm so glad you brought up about the role that the National Guard plays, because that is really crucial. And that's why I believe this judge got it wrong. Obviously, the Trump administration can pivot and make sure, but I don't even need to use the word pivot, because we have not seen the National Guard laying hands on people and arresting them and doing that law enforcement role. It's a support role, like you said. I do want to point out that the next article talking about the National Guard in D.C., you know, Betsy had been on Newsmax again and talking about how the crime-fighting success in D.C., and then, of course, the mayor, Bowser, on Tuesday, ordered indefinite coordination between the city and federal law enforcement officials, a powerful indication of her willingness to cooperate with President Donald Trump's effort to take over public safety in the capital city. Wow, does that not, like, say volumes? And since we already, you know, touched base on it, and I know the sheriff just did a second ago as well, let's go ahead and get the L.A. thing out of it. RVM, which is redvoicemedianews.com, Clinton-appointed judge blocks Trump from deploying National Guard to Los Angeles. Well, yeah, yes and no. So to the sheriff, you just dumbed it down beautifully and helped us understand, you know, how this thing works, this Posse Comitatus Act. So the federal judge...
The judge ruled that he violated, that he was unlawful if you were taking into consideration Posse Comitatus of 1878, which was really established for sheriffs. I know this law very well because it gives sheriffs the ability to deputize able-bodied citizens to stop any insurrections, affrays, any riots, any of the things that would come about. We are able to enact that act to be able to maintain peace and order in our communities. I truly believe that what he was working under was the Insurrection Act of 1807, which says that any civil disobedience, rebellion, or violence against our federal government, in this particular case, they were actively violent against ICE and our other federal law enforcement, and even against local law enforcement. And I think that the president was right. And I think when they take this up, they will argue that point, and the judge will be overturned. This judge is 83 years old. He went to UC Berkeley and studied there. Then he went to Harvard. He wears a bow tie. He's totally out of touch with probably the common man and probably common sense. I've said the more education you get, the less that common sense you get along the way as well. And sorry to anybody out there who's been overly educated. But the fact is, you become very detached with what common sense is. And this guy, Representative Fine from Florida, on June 27th of this year, filed a resolution 556 in Congress to impeach this judge for high crimes and misdemeanors for his politicization of the law in regards to how he's dealing with President Trump and using the National Guard there. So he's not lily white either. He's got some other issues he's dealing with on the other side where he's overstepping his bounds as a judge. And I'll just say this last thing, and I guarantee you Betsy will agree. The judges in this country have caused more damage than even politicians have. judges, you can arrest people. You said in the beginning, we can arrest people, but if the judges and prosecutors are not putting them in jail when they do commit crimes, then it's all for naught. And this is what you see in places like Chicago and Baltimore and LA, where they are not holding criminals accountable. And that falls largely on the shoulders of the judges who continue to release those folks. Sorry, Betsy, I went on a rant.
Look at that, Betsy.
It's a great rant.
Betsy, you're up, but the sheriff just took up all your time. So we're going to go to the commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, introducing Arrow Defense by Arrow Precision at arrowprecisionusa.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about one of the sheriff's favorite topics, long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Arrow Defense by Arrow Precision demands perfection, because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit arrowprecisionusa.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus Bolt Actions. And that's not all. Their M4E1 Pro and their Mod 4 handguards are hitting arrowprecisionusa.com. They started last year, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, and they're now being tailored for the civilian customer, which means that now you guys can start getting your hands on this primo stuff. And their M5 AR308 platform, spectacular. Don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to arrowprecisionusa.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Sheriff Mark Lamb, Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith. And look, we're talking about a lot of things right now, but let's start off. We're talking about the Trump administration, the National Guard. We first talked about Chicago, then we talked about D.C., and now we're talking about L.A., but we're pulling everything in together on this one. The title of this last article was Clinton Appointed Judge Blocks Trump from Deploying the National Guard to L.A., Los Angeles. And so the sheriff, and there we got a picture of the judge right there. That is Judge Charles Breyer, and he was appointed by former President Bill Clinton. He's the brother of retired Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer, and he issued this ruling on Tuesday, deploying the National Guard in L.A., said that Trump does not have the right to do that, that he violated the Posse Comitatus Act, and said that, this is according to the Gateway Pundit, by the way, and the sheriff has already pointed out the error with that. He's also, though, hinting that, well, number one, the remaining 300 National Guard members had to leave L.A. accordingly because of this judge's ruling, unless it's stayed and appealed. Also, we've got some other commentary. You know, it says that this article, because this judge has jurisdiction over California, they're trying to prevent Trump deploying the National Guard to places like Oakland and San Francisco that are underneath this umbrella. But there are also implications that it could affect Chicago if other courts jump on the bandwagon on this. So it's curious to see, you know, where we're going to go from there. But I just thought I would throw that out. Of course, now we got the picture of the judge, thanks to the sheriff, and we have his name, Charles Breyer. Betsy and Sheriff, go ahead.
Well, here's the thing. I think that the Department of Justice and the Trump administration are going to have to recognize that they've got to step carefully, you know, and I think that they will do that. But I don't think they're going to have any problem with what they have planned in Illinois. I would like to see them come to Portland, Oregon. ICE has been under attack in Portland for the last decade, and it's getting although they're doing a better job, but if everybody saw that video from yesterday where they literally erected a guillotine out in front of the ICE building in Portland, Oregon, and it's terribly frustrating. I would like to see the Trump administration bring in the National Guard to assist ICE in Portland, Oregon, and of course the governor there is going to have a fit, but I think it would be good. It would be good law for us to observe how that's going to happen.
I have a question for you guys. So when they're polling locally, whether it's DC or whether it's Chicago, there's a lot of locals that are saying they don't want Trump to come in with the National Guard. But when the national polls are showing that people are overwhelmingly supportive and they want to see this happen, and how do you explain that? It's a craziest thing. If I lived in an armpit like Chicago, I would be praising if my local politicians that were voted in by the people that are representative of the people that live there. So maybe a lot of the people live there, maybe they're part of the problem. Because they don't want to replace the politicians, right? They don't want to go red. They want to stay blue. But how does that make sense? The polls, local versus national, completely different.
Mark, you know more about polling than anybody. You know.
Well, people don't like crime. People don't like crime, and that's what you're seeing is people are anti-crime. The problem is most people don't understand the depth of the Constitution. You don't have to look very deep to understand the 10th Amendment. You do not want the federal government to be your problem solvers. This is why the federal government is as big as it is, and it's why it sits $37 trillion in debt, because they have been the fat hog at the trough, taking all of the food from the states, and now the states become reliant on it. I do not like federal oversight. I do not like the federal government coming in. What we need, though, are state officials who are going to uphold the law and actually protect their citizens, and that's not what was happening in California. That is not what was happening in LA. It's not what's happening in Chicago. And so then you have to ask yourself, at what point does intervention come in? And I don't know that. I think that under the posse comitatus, it's a far stretch. If you have something that like the Insurrection Act, where people are openly defying the government's civil disobedience, all of those things, then I think you can make an argument, which is what they did in California. And look, I just want to say one thing about the judges real quick. So go back real quick to put a pin in the polls. The polls, crime is one of the highest things. Border. So yes, it's going to poll very high that those citizens do not want crime. But I can tell you, they also don't want their federal government in their business more than they already are. And that's a fine balance to walk. And I think the president has done a pretty good job of finding those areas where he can go in. And that's why DC was so important to send a message to say strong law enforcement can fix the problems. But I want to go back to the judge, because a lot of people don't understand. They think that judges is a judge for life. Same with Supreme Court or a federal judge. And it's just not true. Under Article 3, Section 1 of the Constitution, it says the judicial power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court and in such interior courts as the Congress may from time to time ordain and establish. Here's the important part. The judges, both of the Supreme Court and interior courts, shall hold their offices during good behavior. It is not a lifelong appointment. It is a good behavior appointment. And I think that we could articulate time and time again where judges have shown bad behavior by ruling outside of their area, by ruling unjustly, unconstitutionally, because we see the Supreme Court overruling them time and time again. So Look, here's the bottom line. We've got to get back to the Constitution. Okay. The states need to retake the power and they need to use it. Pritzker, Johnson, Newsom, Bass, you are at fault. You are failing to protect your citizens, and we shouldn't need the federal government to come in and do that job. And the citizens need to push back more against their local elected officials and stop electing garbage to come in there. And you cannot expect clean streets and safe streets when you elect people that are pro-sanctuary city and pro-defund the police. This is what you will end up with.
Yeah, there's your problem in Chicago, because in Chicago, we keep electing these people. You know, nobody thought you could have a worse mayor than Lori Lightfoot. And along comes Brandon Johnson, largely elected by the Chicago Teachers Union. You know, they put millions behind this guy. He's over his head. He's not very bright. And Pritzker's only concern is he going to be part of the Democrat force that is going to fight, you know, whoever's going to be our nominee in 2028. But in places like Chicago, in my native Illinois, again, we've had a lot of talk about gerrymandering. Look at a map of Illinois, of the legislative districts. It's extraordinary. It is the most gerrymandered state in this union. And that is how they keep electing these idiots, not just in Chicago, but in Cook County, DuPage County, Will County, because really the rest of the state is red. Where you're going to speak, Mark, you know, that is as red as you can get, but they get run over by Cook County and the city of Chicago. And that's why when you look at the Constitution, that there should be something we should be able to do about that, because Illinois is not properly represented in any way, shape, or form. And I would argue that neither is Arizona.
Yeah.
I got two comments. Number one, Judge Boasberg is not going to appreciate what Sheriff Mark Lamb said earlier. And that is, you know, talking about.
Well, it's actually the founding fathers that said it, so he can be mad at them.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's back in the news. But I, you know, after listening to both of you guys talk, it sounds like that Trump has really laid out the blueprint. Yes. With what he's done in D.C. and I suspect what he's going to do. You know, I know he doesn't want to camp out there and hang out there. And I don't think any of us want to. And we just had a user type in and say, you know, why don't you just keep the National Guard, you know, going in the states and cities that want them? Well, it shouldn't really be a federal problem and solution. I think we all agree to that. But if he lays the blueprint and shows them this is how it can be done and it works. They certainly have no excuse after he pulls out.
You know, Brian brings up a good point. I would like to see, just as an experiment, let's bring in the National Guard to Memphis, Tennessee. Let's bring in the National Guard to Jackson, Mississippi. You know, those are those, because they keep talking about red state crime. Well, those are blue cities in red states. I don't know. Let's show people how it might work.
Now, I agree with Betsy and I agree with Mr. Spencer. Like, I think that if you just say, look, let us come in and help you. We just want to help. Like, if I had an issue in my county and it was out of control and I had 55 shootings over a weekend, I'd be like, please, I need help. Let's restore this. I know one thing about dealing with crime. And if you want to get on top of it, you better put your boot in their throat. And you don't have enough cops on the streets in Chicago to be able to go out and actually thwart and stop that crime because they've allowed it to permeate and become such a problem. So I agree, Brian, if they were, these states and these cities need to request the help of the federal government. And President Trump has said, I'm here to help you.
All right, perfect timing, Sheriff. Guy, hopefully, we wear flip-flops in Florida. Hopefully, that'll do the trick instead of a boot. But, hey, we're going on our commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. You know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day. But it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you if you have your own agency. If you're a chief or a sheriff, you can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. Contact GunLearn.com for more information. Again, that is GunLearn.com. You'd be glad that you did. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. You know, let me just cover this real quick here. I know that we've got, you know, we do these giveaways, and I'm looking at a new posting here, and you know, to Sheriff Mark Lamb here, but we do these contests. And so we did a Gulls gift card giveaway, and we have a winner. It is Carter Sasser. And Carter, you entered correctly. I have the email address, and you are the winner for the day. So congratulations, Carter Sasser, on Facebook. I will get that digital $50 Gulls gift card to you at the end of the show coming up. So congratulations on that. That's a great win. Wow, what a great opportunity. So, and guys, you know, coming back, I think that are there any final words on the topic that we're just kind of closing down? Are you guys ready to move on to something else, or any final words on that? Or, all right, I'll tell you, the energy from the show and from these topics, and the whole goal is people that watch the show. I mean, look at space, there's a lot of different news sources, right? And I try to cover the good with the bad. I mean, there's liberal and conservative, you know, viewpoints and stuff. We want to make you guys among the smartest people in the room when it comes to these topics, so that when you're with family and friends, you can, I dare say, healthy debates. But, you know, really nothing in this country is going to change unless we have that conversation, right, Betsy? I mean, a lot of people say, don't talk about this, or when someone comes over, and I'm, you know, as long as people are civil, there's really no reason not to. And that's the only way you're going to change, get things done positively. Just like the sheriff said, you know, you can solve the issues at the polls. People are just so reluctant to, but you vote the people in the office that do things. And guess what? If they don't do, if your city's not safe, vote them out and vote someone in that'll get it done. But now this blueprint's being laid And there's really no excuse. So,
well, and get involved locally, people. That's one of the biggest things you can do. We get all eaten up with these national elections. Get involved locally. Know who's on your city council and your county board, and know who your local politicians are, because they're really the ones making these decisions about your own safety.
That's right.
No doubt. So I'll tell you what, we've got a couple of stories here. I am going to, I'm going to throw the Juno one in first, and then we're going to cover the attorney, you know, the upstanding attorney that had an ankle bracelet on that he cut off. So rumble.com is where we're getting this from. And the name of the channel is This Is Butter. It's our favorite law enforcement video channel. And I will describe in great detail what's going on for our radio and podcast audience, since they don't have the opportunity to see the video. But just know, guys, that the very next day at 9 o'clock in the morning, our producer puts together a special version of the show. He'll take a copy of the live show and he'll embed every video that we talk about as we talk about it, and pictures of the good guys and the bad guys pop up as well. He'll Photoshop the people on the panelists on the show that need the Photoshop. It's just amazing. I got the sheriff to look up when I said that. You see that he had his hat down.
And I'm trying to watch that, the video too, while I'm watching. I'm prepping.
All right. So don't make me laugh. Juno police officer seen on video throwing a man to the ground resigns from the force. So I'm going to go through what the official, take is, and then I'll go my show notes. So a Juno police officer who picked up and threw a man to the ground, and if you watch the video, he pretty much did that. It caused head injuries that required a medevac to Anchorage. So it sounds worse than it was. This is during an arrest of a separate person in July, and this guy has resigned from the force, according to the police department. And look, I always, you know internally whether you want to fight the fight or not. So if a cop quits, even if they thought they were in the right.
Yeah. Take care of him.
Can you stand over here for me?
Take care of him.
Take care of him. Go before you go to jail too.
Wait, don't what? Do that. What? Don't do that.
Turn around. You're going to jail too. Put your hands behind your back. I'm not going to tell you again. You're about to get slammed. Put your hands behind your back. Put your hands behind your back right now. Right now. Walking now, huh? What I told you.
It makes me question, you know, if you're not willing to fight for yourself, then I'm not going to be jumping on the bandwagon and say you should have stayed and fought it, because, you know, you either know you have what it takes to fight something or not. So I try not to second guess those guys. But Officer Brandon LeBlanc resigned on Thursday after being on probation for weeks after this incident happened on July the 30th. The moment surrounding the arrest, it was a woman that precipitated this. They threw a guy to the ground. So basically what happened was, is they arrest a woman and you got some insults coming from this guy, and she tells the cops, hey, you know, get this guy. So they try to get rid of him and he doesn't want to leave. And there was a bystander that captured the cell phone cam, and Officer LeBlanc throws his 49-year-old Christopher Williams Jr. to the ground with his head hitting the pavement. And then the guy kind of goes, it looks like he goes kind of comatose, to be honest with you. They're able to handcuff him. The fight's over, right? But the guy was non-compliant when the cop had him up against his car. Did not put his hands behind his back for handcuffing. And this is after the cop tried to get the guy to walk away and just disengage, and he would not have been arrested. So in an interview later with Alaska's news source, Williams said that his left, this is the guy that was medevac. His injuries, even though he's medevac, his injuries are left shoulder and right thumb dislocated. He had a fractured collarbone, so clavicle, and then he had bruising and open wounds to the back of his head. That was it. Doesn't say anything about a brain bleed or anything like that. The incident started when the 47-year-old woman, identified by police, Mariska Dickerson, she throws water in the face of a 52-year-old guy outside the Douglas Library. And then she gets arrested and she gets taken to the Correctional Institute. But when she's arrested, this 49-year-old Juneau resident, who ends up being this Williams guy, he's the guy that kind of interacted with her, didn't want to walk away, followed police commands and all that stuff. And when I'm going to my show notes on this thing, it pretty much, you got a bunch of different body cam angles. It shows her from dash cams, it shows her from body cams, but the cop on the video, and when we have audio, did tell him, put your hands behind your back multiple times. And then the cop pretty much grabs him around the waist and he leans back and he pretty much crashes the guy headfirst into the pavement. It was a sidewalk, but the fight was over. when I watch these things, the first thing I always have to ask myself is, was there complaints on the side of the bad guy? And I go forward from there. So there certainly was not. Sheriff Mark Lamb.
Yeah, look, the guy wasn't complying. He's intervening in something that didn't involve him. And then I guess later on, he's supposedly a lawyer. I guess if you defend yourself in court, does that make you a lawyer? I don't know if this guy's actually a lawyer or not.
No, the next guy's a lawyer.
I'm complaining to two. So, look, yeah. here's my guess is the guy probably resigned because they don't pay us cops enough to deal with this. You know, we're out here trying to put cuffs on somebody, deal with it. And then you got some other person intervening. He wasn't following commands. At what point do we wait till the police officer gets hurt before we actually do something? We started talking in the break. I have been watching a lot of body cam video, and I think police are oftentimes far too courteous, and they are far too tolerant of behavior. And what it's doing is it's creating situations where that person that you're dealing with gets more and more amped up and more emboldened to do something that's going to hurt themselves or the police. I'm a big believer. Look, let's put cuffs on the person. Let's get them out of the area. Let's tamp down the temperature, and we can deal with the rest of it outside. Arrests don't usually come until we can decide, okay, you know what? I've cleared this up. I figured it out. You're good to go. Thank you for being patient while I figured, you know, went through this. I had to detain you for my safety and yours. But all too often we let it go and the people start chirping more and more and more. And then we have to go hands on. By this time, energy is high and people are getting charged with resisting arrest. And this guy should have just minded his own business. And when the cop told him, step back, he should have stepped back. But he didn't. All of these things are always precipitated by somebody who refused to listen to police commands. It's that simple. Here's your license. Here's my license. Here's my registration. Or, yes, sir, I'll back off, but I do have some questions for you when you're done. I would love to ask you a couple questions. That's how simple it is. But people want to continue to get involved. And we have politicians and we have the media fueling this fire as if police are always in the wrong. And it is not true. Sustained police complaint rates is like 0.003%, and we respond to millions of calls a year. And so what we need to do is have more compliant citizens, to be honest with you, and stop getting in the way of police when they're trying to do their job.
And this is why cops need to have confidence in their leadership so that they can take somebody down quickly and do exactly what Mark said. You know, I learned in 1985 when I went to my first Dave Smith use of force class, Bucksham. You know, use of force never looks pretty. It's not pretty.
Never.
We've got to do it quickly, constitutionally. But we need to have faith in our leadership. And obviously this officer didn't because he quit. Remember, Juneau's a town of 31,000 people. It's a small town. It's a small police department. I've trained a bunch of those guys up there. And I'm going to guess he left and said, you know what, I'm going to go somewhere else in the lower 48 where I get paid better and it's warmer.
Yep. Have him reach out to me at 107consulting.com, TEN7consulting.com, and we'll help this guy start his own business and build out. That's what we're doing for law enforcement guys. Whether you're still on the job, you want to get the tax write-offs, or whether you're getting ready to retire, you've retired, or if you're not law enforcement or military, we'll help you step by step setting up a business and getting you taking control of your fate, your financial future, and also being able to have purpose. So there's my little plug for my business there, 107consulting.com. Thanks for throwing
there's
that up.
Life there. After law enforcement, people. There's life after law enforcement.
Call my book people. That I just got through writing is called 107. When your shift ends, when your shift ends and your life begins. Because the reality is, the real life starts after you've finished your service to the community. And we want you to use the skills you acquired in law enforcement and in military. And we want you to build a business, something good for your family. Your pension is a participation trophy. If you're relying on that to pay your bills for the rest of your life, you're going to be sorely disappointed. You've got to start building something other than that for the future. Amen. And you need purpose.
I got 15 seconds, guys, and then we're going to be talking about MPA, but I want to mention our sponsors again, Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, Gunlearn.com, MyMedicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, Two Bells, and FisherOrlandoBash.com. And thanks for the support, guys. We'll see you back tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern.